Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk, late night edition. After the Sunday night game, the Baltimore Ravens beat the Los Angeles Chargers 20-10. And we are here to talk about it, all things good, bad, and otherwise. But ultimately, the Ravens come out with the win. Great to be here to talk about it. So let's get right into it, Glenn. I'm excited to talk about this game because I think overall, there, like I said, a lot of good, a lot of bad, a lot of things to work on. If you'll bear with me here, there's one quick thought that I wanted to mention, and I want to mention it before I forget. I know we're going to talk a lot about Monken. I know we're going to talk about the offense, all those different things, but it almost felt like the impact of Mark was being how the offense was going to work was being formulated during this game, right? And I think that there's an opportunity in this challenge of overcoming not having Mark Andrews, of being a new team that hasn't shown itself on tape very often, right? Like, it looks different now. I think they were learning on the go. And then the last thing I want to say is that I'm excited for this break. These boys need it.
Yeah, they do. They certainly do. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, they need the break. They definitely have traveled more than anyone in the league, and so they'll certainly be happy with. But what I think is awesome is that they get to go into this break in a good mood, right? They get to go in there coming off the heels of a big win. They go to the West Coast. They beat an AFC team that, look, you're not going to find a more talent-ridden team, albeit at 4-7, but still talent-ridden. But yeah, I mean, it's a big, big win. Obviously some struggles on offense we're going to get into. Defense played their asses off. Got to give a shout out to the defensive side, holding these guys down the way they did. Jimbo, I got to give us a little bit of credit. I mean, you talk about nailing our keys to the game. I mean, holy smokes. I just want to reference some of our keys because I think we both kind of hit it out of the park on offense. My key to the game was don't let Khalil Mack wreck the game. And he damn near did, Jimbo.
Jeez, it was. That guy was playing, showing out tonight.
I mean, holy smokes, he was everywhere. Out. And then on the other side, I said it's all about Eckler and Allen. Make the other guys beat you. And Allen,
holy crap,
dude, they just throw it to him every time.
I was getting so exhausted of like, I mean, dude, can we do anything else?
And then, dude, you said to keep it simple. And what do, Jimbo? We come out. We don't challenge it when it's pretty clear we get a first down. And then we run Wildcat when we have Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. That was wild. That was wild.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
You direct snap the whole have Lamar. We're the only team that doesn't need to do it. Or one of the few teams. It doesn't need to do Wildcat.
Yeah. No, it's great. And then the whole not challenging it, I'll never understand that.
First of all, how was it
not called? How did the refs not call it?
Yeah.
There were two spots. The Lamar extension was such an easy call, and then the Nelly's the Nelly's play, even easier.
The Nelly one was insane.
Dude, you know why? That was all because of the first drive debacle. With the Chargers. Just here, let me give you a couple makeup calls, Chargers. See what you can do with it.
Crazy. Wow. Crazy. And then your second half, just so you know, your defensive key was shut the door in the second half. The Chargers have an ability to make a comeback. And sure enough, I mean, holy smokes, we almost had it happen. Tom Votto says the bye could have not come at a better time. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they needed this bye week, especially with the way the schedule ends. They're playing good team after good team after good team. And man, it would have just stunk going into that bye week, coming off a comeback, another fourth quarter blown lead.
It would have been when we had a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter. I kept thinking of that meme of the guy holding the water bottle, and he's like, that was me, dude. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, dude. It was like, here we go. Yep, don't do it. Again. But credit to the defense. They shut the door on that
offense.
And
not just the defense. The offense did just enough.
No doubt. Facts. I mean, Keaton Mitchell. Let me give you some numbers here. Lamar Jackson, 18 of 32, 177 yards, touchdown, no picks. He was sacked two times. Keaton Mitchell, 9 carries, 64 yards. Lamar, 11 for 39. Gus Edwards, 8 for 26, uncharacteristically low efficiency for him. I thought Justice Hill at moments looked like the best running back we had on the team. This guy was shot out of a can. He goes 5 for 31. And Zay Flowers, only one carry, Jimbo, but boy, was it a big one. He goes 37 yards off the jet sweep for the touchdown. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy was so – he was huge today. 2 touchdowns overall. We talked about the number on the ground. Also, 5 catches, 25 yards, and the touchdown through the air. He was a difference maker tonight, Jimbo. I mean, his ability to get open, but also his ability to make guys miss.
Yeah, it was really funny because originally I had him as my – breakout player offensively, and then I changed it to OBJ. And look, I don't know what happened. Did we see OBJ in the second half?
Yeah, obviously dealing with something. We saw all Nelson Agholor, Zay Flowers, and Rashad Bateman. And Duvernay at times.
Yeah, and you know, as an aside, I mean, obviously OBJ had a nice first half and a nice first quarter, really. And then it was funny, typical Nelly to make that incredible catch and then turn around and drop one.
Oh, I know.
Right. That was a tough one.
I know.
But Rashad showing out too, had some really nice catches tonight. Some nice
dude,
plays.
After, remember the drop on second and then he bounces back and snatches that one on third down, dude. Well, I thought it was OBJ the way he snatched.
It did look like that. And I'll tell you what, that was kind of what I was saying at the beginning is that, and we said this in our pregame show, from an offensive perspective, we really didn't know how the offense was going to, like, I don't like to use this term in this scenario, but it's the closest I can think of. Like, manufacture yards, sustain drives, put things together without the glue, right? Like, Mark is the glue. Third down, Lamar's eyes are set, 89. Let's, like, you know what I mean? They even showed that statistic. The overwhelming amount of times Lamar Jackson goes to Mark, and even more in the red zone when it gets really important. I would say the same for third down. So what I'm trying to say is that I was proud of the way the offense adjusted, learned and did enough on the fly. This is the first time they've had to do it without him. I mean, other than like week one, but like, you know, this is just a different scenario that they're dealing with. And it was not perfect, but I'm happy with that last drive at the end. Glenn was so important for me, not just because we won the game, but because the psyche of this offense moving forward is going to be different than if they would have gotten stonewalled. Yep. Because that second half was not pretty for us offensively.
No. And neither was it for special teams with Tucker missing an uncharacteristic under 50 yards. I mean, man, we got to get this guy some rest. That did not help.
Lay off the Royal Farms chicken. I think it's what it is, man.
Yeah, maybe he's getting a little thick in the hips. Man, he says, gutsy win and lots to work on in the bye. A few things that drove me nuts. Why is Justice getting the rock third and short? Tough game for Harbs. Seemingly struggled to manage the game. Rough spotting the ball was awful. Yeah, agreed on all that. Yeah, tough game for Harbs. It's almost like on one of those fourth downs, it seemed like he and Lamar thought it was a first down on the Nelly play. Yeah. It's like they didn't realize that and we didn't either, but we're at home. You know, we don't have the advantage of seeing the sticks right on the sideline. So, yeah, he's got to see that better. But I thought Justice ran the ball well tonight. I do understand why you'd like to have Gus in there. I get that, or Keaton. Mm-hmm. But, man, I thought Justice had some.
How huge was that second effort? Was that a third down or a fourth down with Gus? I think it was a fourth down.
Oh, it was fourth down, bro.
Huge.
That was fourth.
How many? I know that's such a small, like, gain in the game, but as far as yardage, how many running backs can make that play?
Yeah. No, you're right.
There's honestly not too many of them, right?
Did you just have an emoji pop up on the screen?
I did.
There it is.
Hello. That's what Gus Edwards gets up. Oh, thumbs up, Gus.
Don C says, game ball to the defense. What a crazy game. Harb's not challenging the spots on two different occasions, but choosing to question a backwards pass. Yikes. Now, I will say this about the backwards pass. I thought, what the hell is he challenging? It looks silly. Because when the ball's being released, the guy he's throwing it to is way further behind. But actually, where the ball was caught compared to where it was released was pretty much parallel. Yeah. So it actually was not a horrible challenge in hindsight. But you're right. To miss those first two was, I mean, come on. You got a guy in the booth. I don't know if it's to blame Harbs or the guy
What's going on here?
Where's the guy in the booth, dude?
Yeah, the guy behind Monken with the big old, with the binoculars. Yeah, what are you doing, dude?
Isn't there a guy on every
team? If you're getting paid for that.
Right. Fire him. Bring in Jerry Rosberg back, you know? Where's that guy? Hey, I want to ask you something, though, because we were worried about Mark. Isaiah Likely leads our team in receiving yards, four catches, and 40 good. Yards. He's faster than Mark Andrews. I think we can all agree on that. That catch he had that screen, he turned upfield and booked it. The dude can absolutely move, and a confident Isaiah Likely, I think, would be huge to end the season. I love seeing that he led our team in yardage, Jimbo.
Yeah, I agree with you on all fronts there. That was exciting to see. I think the thing about Likely that Likely is not Mark. Let me say that. But it is fun to see that he's a different guy, that you can deploy him in different ways.
Athlete, he's, man.
Yeah, so fast. I mean, now the only thing I want to make sure Likely is consistent with is we can't have negative plays. Like I worry about him with the football in his hands, you know,
he's got the wiggle though, dude.
Yeah, right. It just makes me nervous that he's susceptible to boop. And I'm not saying that's happened to him yet. But yeah, I love seeing it. You're right. Getting the confidence, getting him going, going into the bye week. Now you got 2 weeks to really study, get yourself together and let's roll, man. Let's absolutely roll. So I'm excited about him moving forward and seeing what he can do.
Yeah, man. Kieran says, not every win can be a cakewalk. Yeah. Every team gets their close wins. They did what they had to do. Big props to the defense for shutting the door. And I'm absolutely, you know, Chargers have found themselves in a ton of close games. They've lost so many. They've lost all their three-point decisions have all been in the loss column. Like, they just can't seem to close the door or come back and finish the job. And it's another example of it. They had an opportunity, but the Ravens, who are the better team, found a way to win, and the Chargers didn't. And to his credit about the defense, man, we got to start talking a little bit of defense here, Jimbo, because Kyle Hamilton is, I mean, everyone is seeing now on the national stage the type of weapon this guy is. He goes from coming after your quarterback to then running after your best wide receiver. I mean, this guy can absolutely do it all. His instincts are
incredible.
Unbelievable. I mean, how good was that guy tonight?
You know what this is? It's funny. People are going to hate this, but Glenn and I talk about this all the time. Could you imagine if guys like Russell Westbrook or Derrick Rose in his prime, all these hyper-athletic. I mean, could you imagine LeBron James? All these guys are in the NFL.
Yeah, because he's like that. He's got that NBA
athleticism. That's what I'm saying. He's a basketball player at heart who just, you know, he kind of hit a wall there and was like, well, I know I can do it on the football field. And he's so welcoming to the physicality, which is kind of the reason why other basketball players don't do it.
Yeah, that's probably why he went to football. Yep.
Right. Yep. You know, so he's so welcoming to it that, man, just absolutely exciting. I saw shout out to Road Graders and Cole Jackson here. I saw him say, F JLC, of course, that is Jason Lockenfora. Him and Jason have a longstanding relationship. I think they're really good pals and hang out on the weekends. With all that being said, he's not wrong. I mean, Jason Lockenfora basically mocked Eric DaCosta and Kyle
Still
Hamilton.
Does. This is just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, right. This was recent. This was not at draft day. This was like 14 days ago, ladies and gentlemen.
But anyway. Right?
Yeah, no, but the point is, you're absolutely right. The kid is an absolute playmaker, and it would be hard to say that there's a single safety in the league that affects the game more than Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, he's everywhere. I mean, the guy is just everywhere. The way he was covering those screens, even if they had a blocker, he just controls the blocker, immediately sheds at the point of attack and makes the tackle. I mean, his tackling in
space. How much stronger is he this year than last year?
Dude, and his length. No one can get their hands on him. He's, get off of me.
Yeah, what does Clowney call him? He calls him an avatar.
Because that's how he is, dude. He looks like an avatar out there running with a bunch of humans. Manny says, Harbs and Monk and O. McDonald, a lot of Christmas presents for that win. Yeah, they certainly owe him a couple. I mean, to put that offense away, the big plays. I mean, you want to talk about big plays.
Yep.
See, look no further than what Jadeveon Clowney did to close out that game. The way he beat that right tackle, slapped the ball out of the hand of Justin Herbert in a big, big moment when it looked like the Ravens defense was maybe going to at least give up that field goal to tie the game. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney, it's like I saw someone, I think it may have even been you, DK, on Twitter. He was a Raven from the start. It just took him a little while to find his way home.
That's right. He's not clowning around anymore, ladies and gentlemen. No, but that was huge. And then the Maulette call.
Oh.
And the way, I got to give Maulette credit, the way that he waited till the last minute to come off of that wide receiver, or if it was a tight end, I can't remember. I think it was actually a tight end, and just bolted, man.
Never
he was
saw him coming.
Lightning in a bottle.
And he got the pick at the half, you know.
Dude, and he stuck it, too. I mean, yep. Justin Herbert's not a small dude.
No, he let him know.
Shout out to him. Doomgoy94 says, Flowers TD helped with the bad taste, but this game sucked. Tackles our liability, and we have a hard on for playing to our competition. Praise the bye. I think you're being a little tough. I just want to provide context, Doomgoy. Glenn has already said it. We've traveled the most miles. This is a late bye. Like, you got to take those things in consideration.
And Khalil came into the game with 11 sacks.
Yeah, and so the dude was already balling out. I'm not saying that the tackles played perfectly, but to say they're a total liability, maybe in this game, that wasn't their best game. I think moving forward, this is what I'll say. I feel blessed that tonight in week, what week were we? Were week 12? Did we just...
Week 11?
Maybe. 12. DK said 12.
I trust DK.
All five of our original starting offensive linemen started tonight.
That's a beautiful thing, dude.
It is a beautiful... And that means that they got 2 weeks to rest up, and they will be doing so in week 14 of this NFL season.
And don't forget Marlon's coming back, too. Let's not forget that. And if Marlon was in this game, we wouldn't have seen 38 catches for daggone Keenan Allen. You can bet your ass on that one.
Hey, no touchdowns.
Hey, there you go. There you go. Touchdowns. Bend but don't break.
That's right.
But yeah.
You got to give him some. You know what I mean? But you're right. It was brutal.
Manny says it's four turnovers, though. Dominant defense. Yeah, absolutely dominant. The way.
Got to get more Pat points Queen, off the turnovers, though, boy.
Yeah, you certainly do. And the way Pat Queen and Roquan were playing, I mean, they were racing to the ball carrier. Absolutely racing. The physicality they bring every time they arrive at the football. I mean, there's no doubt that the way that the Ravens tackle is why they're generating so many turnovers. You know, the way they meet the ball carrier and cause these fumbles. I mean, it's because they tackle with violence. They don't show up at your door with muffins and cookies. No. They show up with a brick in their hand and they smack you in the mouth. And I love to see it. I mean, to somebody else's point, love to see Brody out there making plays on the quarterback just a week after he was a coach's decision to have a seat to see him, Travis Jones. How about Travis today? Tossing big fellas out from in front of him. Mm-hmm. I mean, the defense was and then Matabike. I don't know.
Michael Pierce recovered a fumble and he had a sack. Did Michael Pierce also have a sack tonight?
I don't think he had a sack.
But Travis, recovered a fumble.
Yeah, he did. He jumped.
I mean, those boys did everything.
Yeah, I hope. Did anyone see if Matabike, did he come back in the game? I know he was down.
We'll see what we find on Twitter too. I'll check Jeff's.
JV's yeah, I think stuff. we gotta make sure that he's in good shape. But yeah, I mean, great game for the defense today. They absolutely dominated. Massey says, "Win don't feel good." Oh, stop it, Massey! Don't say that. Yeah, Munkin and Harb saved by the defense. Munkin becomes too fancy in field goal range. Field goals matter. Lamar takes sacks or incompletions due to long developing routes when short routes are working. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree there. There was moments where he had 3-4 seconds, and some of those rushes or quarterback hurries that they're going to call him, they really weren't that. It's just he couldn't find a guy open, and it makes you wonder, was there a guy open he missed, or was there not anyone open, or were these long developing routes, as Massey says?
Sometimes you just got to keep it simple. You know, Tom Votto says, you know, kind of to the same thing. Ravens offense and Lamar looked best tonight, getting the ball out quick slants. We got away from that in the second half. I think that's absolutely true. And some of that I'm sure had to do with OBJ not being out there. I think Jason Garrett said that OBJ is the second best slant runner in the history of the NFL. So say what you will, but Jason Garrett seen plenty of OBJ. To be able to, you know, properly assess that. So, yeah, I think that's a great point, Tom. I just got to ask you a question. What happened at the half with the 8 seconds and the fourth down and the ball out of bounds? First of all, if you got Lamar out there, does that mean – to me, it means one of two things. You're going for the Hail Mary, which it seemed like they were talking about the sideline, or within 8 seconds, you're trying to get the ball to the first down marker on the sideline with enough time for Justin to kick the field goal. I didn't understand what happened.
Well, first of all, they had a timeout with 8 seconds left. So they could have.
They did have a time. So
they could have thrown
it
anywhere.
They still had to convert.
They still had to convert. But Lamar takes a huge sack, right? A huge sack that puts him out of realistic field goal range. It would have been a 69-yard field goal. But to your point, bizarrely, it looked as if they were almost trying to run the clock out and just throw the ball out of bounds rather than actually attempt to pick up a first down, which 8 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
Fourth and 14. It's not unreasonable to think you can run 14 yards, catch a ball, fall down, and call timeout. Yeah, they had the opportunity. So that was bizarre, and it forced an opportunity for them to have a Hail Mary, which ends up leading to the Mallett interception. So no harm, no foul. But it took 3 points off the board. We take that sack there. Lamar can't take that sack. Mm-hmm. You got to get the ball out. I don't know if there was a hot route available that he didn't see or if there was not one available, if maybe the receiver didn't read it properly, but you can't take a sack there and take yourself out of field goal range. Can't do it.
Agreed. I couldn't disagree with you there. Sean Pisker says, boys, I'll take the dub. Show. I like that. However, coaching was rough tonight. Thank God for the defenses and thank God for Zay Flowers. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, yeah. Sean is thanking the good Lord above for the defense tonight. Yeah, the defense played excellent and got to take the dub where you can get them. They don't come cheap in this league, no matter who it is. Long travel out to LA to get it done in an evening where if you think about this, the Ravens are suiting up. Out there obviously they're playing at what, like 5:20. It's a late normal primetime game, but it's a late game out of routine. And yeah, Zay Flowers had an absolute breakout game tonight. He was fun to watch. I think you talked about this earlier, Glenn, but he was so dynamic in the way he impacted the game. I saw a few people commenting about this. Dude, talk to me about the screen game.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Well, first of all, it didn't make sense in this game because you use the screen as an extension of the run game, essentially. Yeah. But the run game was working just fine. That's the part that was kind of confusing. Like, I didn't see the need to continuously go back to the screen game. Now, I didn't mind it when they would crowd the line of scrimmage and just rush everyone into every gap and sag off on your receivers like they did later in the game. We actually took advantage of it and got like 7 yards, I think, on a quick screen. But that wasn't even really a screen. That was more just like a quick throw to the wideout who just turned and caught it. But yeah, when you're gouging them, like Keaton Mitchell was having success on the ground. Mm-hmm. Gus Edwards wasn't having a typical Gus day, but it's not like he was getting stonewalled and pushed back for negative yards. Justice Hill had a fantastic game on the ground. I just think we need to stick to the run a little bit more often instead of trying to get too many screens. I wasn't the biggest fan of that, but at the same time, they did have 35 carries to just 32 passes, so they did try to run the ball more. But 11 of those were Lamar Jackson. I'm certain that most of them weren't designed runs.
Yeah, yeah. And then Masi says, Zay not going down shows not good coaching. Scoring doesn't end game. Come on.
Nah, yes.
No, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this, Masi. Dude, take the points and go home.
Yeah.
You sprint game was into over. That. Yeah, you sprint into that end zone and you take that. I'm not worried about how much time
it would have been. A minute and a half left. They had
a 10-point game. Get out of here with that.
You end the game because you never know what could have happened after that. We could have fumbled a snap on the attempted kneel down. You just never know. The game is over.
Yeah. I mean, plus, where were we at on the field at that point? I know context matters, but it wasn't like anybody was. I mean, it wasn't like we were in the red zone. It wasn't at the top of everybody's mind. Like, oh, this could score.
No, it was like a 35-yarder.
Right, he broke that thing open. So
yeah, 37-yarder.
No, I take the points, man. I don't think twice.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, man.
Joshua Hunter says, how did the rest of the NFL let Hamilton fall to us in the draft? Lights out performance tonight. Rest of the defense as well. Offense will improve, I'm sure. No pictures in the standings. Ugly win is still a win. That's right. So a couple things. Yeah, I mean, I remember that draft, dude. That was so awesome to watch Hamilton just fall right to us. I remember doing mock after mock.
And Linderbaum.
Yeah, and not a single mock had him going below like 7.
Right. Yeah, like 7.
None of them had him in double digits, much less 14. But the one thing I want to say is I agree with Josh on this. I think the offense will improve. That's what I'm trying to say. This is like a phoenix in the ashes, right? Come on, Harry Potter fans, y'all know about this, right? A new phoenix is reborn from the ashes, right? Like this new offense can be something exciting. Obviously, I want Mark Andrews here, but this could be to an advantage, right? Because now there's less of this out there for the world, this rendition of the Ravens offense with the feature, you know, number 80, you know, Isaiah Likely at tight end. Not that I would prefer him over Mark, but there's a clear difference. So, you know, as long as we can stay healthy, hopefully OBJ gets back and they can be consistent at the wideout position, then we got a lot to be excited about. I think this offense will continue to improve. And who knows, maybe by playoff times come around, you know, we're hitting that peak that we talked about, right?
That's right, no doubt. Let's see, JL says, Kyle Hamilton is the Ravens' best defensive player, and he's only 22. Also, someone take that red flag away from John Harbaugh. He challenges when he shouldn't and doesn't challenge when he should. Super Bowl run, let's fucking go. Oh, freaking go. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he had a the challenging has never been. He doesn't have the best challenge record that showed today. It was not a pretty scene. Doesn't challenge when he should, does when he shouldn't. I don't know if Kyle Hamilton's our best player just yet. Roquan might have something to say about it, but yeah, I mean, it's Yeah, he's certainly in the conversation, though. I mean, I think it's between him and Roquan. I'm agreeing. Like, he is damn close to being. Yeah. I mean, that's how good that guy is. But also, were you? I got to ask you, Jimbo. A little pissed off at Gerald Everett,
Ray Lewis dancing. Well, I hate when guys do this. Dude. I hate
it. He's even in the league anymore, dude. How long has it been? 10 years. You're still trying to clown a guy.
Yeah, and you're still, even with the touchdown, you were still down.
Yeah, man. Like, and you'd clown a guy who can't hit you because he doesn't play anymore.
I didn't like that. You heard what Garrett said, right? He's like, don't poke the bear.
Dude,
you know, don't poke the bear.
I know is Ray put out on Twitter 12-1, something's happening. I think he's dropping a podcast, but what if he's signing a contract?
he's back, ladies and gentlemen.
He's coming back.
Whatever is going to happen, the opening video is going to be Ray pacing back and forth like this with a towel. Yeah. In his hand, wiping the sweat off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's just pouring sweat.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Bronco says the lack of deep plays hindered us. Chargers defense locked down majority of our short routes. Got snubbed 2 first downs. Big time. But thank goodness we still got the dub. Yeah. So, you know, we always want to see, I think, some more shots downfield. That one to Zay, man, was just off.
Yeah.
It was just off.
But It was so close, man. And then to OBJ on the left side.
Yeah. Oh, that one too, the little floater to beat the pressure. Yeah, that was. But I have faith that we'll get there. I think we'll get there.
Just think, I'd rather be hitting them then in the playoffs than hitting them now, dude, if I had to choose.
Yep, absolutely. I think we can only improve in that category. So let's keep taking the shots. Let's not get gun shy. But I also don't know if the Chargers, like, lock down our short stuff.
I wouldn't say that. No.
Yeah. 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 CJ Lavender says, not easy winning on the road in the NFL. Amen. It's even more difficult when you travel to the West Coast. The win is better than Detroit. This win is better than Detroit and Seattle. I think I would agree with that. I mean, that Detroit win is big, but doing this on the road is a big deal. It shows we can win without our best offense, 0 turnovers. Lamar almost had one.
Almost
had one, but yeah, look, doesn't count in the certainly doesn't count in fantasy. I'm well aware of that. You're right, CJ. I mean, this was a huge one. I think I agree with you. If I have to think about it, I think this is a bigger win, being that it's on the road, being that it's been a long 12 weeks. It's the AFC, and like you said, Glenn, very talented football team coming off the heels of a big injury to our all pro tight end. A lot of things going, you know, in the odds or against the Ravens, into this game, the way to get it done. This was a get it done game. So I agree with CJ on this one.
Yep. I'm not mad about it. Let's see. Manny says, guys, our O-line is a problem. I mean, I see what Manny's concerns are. When you look at what Khalil Mack was able to do, he did, you know, he sacked Lamar Jackson twice.
Ronnie's first game back.
I honestly think, Manny, that once we go back and have an opportunity to look at the tape, the offensive line did its job for the most part. I did see Linderbaum uncharacteristically give up a pressure on third down.
Early in the game, right?
Yeah, it was like the first or second drive. Killed the drive. It's surprising to see him get beat the way he did. because everyone else held their blocks. I think what we'll find when we watch the tape and we have Cole on after he has the opportunity to evaluate it, I think we'll see that there just wasn't anywhere for Lamar Jackson to go with the ball quickly, because we saw Lamar get to the end of his drop, sit there for a second, no one's open, and then he's trying to make something happen. We gotta get that figured out, man. We can't have guys not being ready to catch the ball. We can't have Lamar dropping back ready to throw and have nowhere to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. Tim Miller says, I hope I'm wrong, but Mike McDonald will be gone next year. We'll see.
He still has to be head coach material. He's got to interview leaving well. Unless he's going to be a head coach.
Right. He's got to interview well. And I'm sure John Stein will take if you get an opportunity to take it, but also got to take the right one.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be a head coach in college, and I don't think he's going anywhere to be a DC anywhere else. So it's only, and there ain't that many jobs open every year. I mean, seemingly there's always a handful, but what are we expecting? Maybe 7-8 jobs at most.
Right. And the other thing, too, is that does he even know enough guys in the league at this point? Because he's only been here to then turn around and build out a staff that he feels really confident in. You know what I mean?
Is he ready as this young man? Like, is he ready? But to Tim's point, he's building a resume.
No, he absolutely. It's not that he's not deserving, but I think for him, strategically, it's got to make sense, too, in his career. Now, really quickly, I just want to address this in the comments because I did look this up on Twitter. So it does look like Peters is expected to be released. Marcus Peters, that is. Any way there's a reunion here?
I mean, I don't know. It depends on the relationships, man. Comes down to. Did he burn bridges with, outbursts?
Would you like him to be back, Glenn?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No concern. Like, would you have concerns?
Oh, there's certainly concerns of effort at times, but when you thrust him into a playoff race, I think those effort concerns would probably go away.
Yeah, but I guess my concerns was any concerns about his ability or his possibility of fracturing this unit, this culture.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly. Yeah. The way they're playing right now, you got to be concerned with that.
I'd like to see Peters back, though, because he's a dog.
Yeah, I'd like to have him back too, but you still have to think about those.
You have to think about all of it.
I would welcome him back. Assad says should be 10-0. This team is too balanced. A lot inconsistently lately, but going into the bye, 8-3 after 13 straight games, I'm very proud. Actually, 9-3 to your point, Assad.
10-0.
Yeah,
messing off, my man.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about you saw the record entering the fourth quarter, 10 straight games. Now 11, I believe, or maybe it's either 10 or 11 straight games entering the fourth with a lead. I mean, that's what the Ravens do, man. And this time they were able to put it away, close the game.
Yeah, no, for sure. Sean Pisker says Lamar is def a better wide receiver passer than an event before, but if he could just be a tad more consistent with the deep ball, we'd be unstoppable.
I
don't disagree with you there. I think some of that is a lot of these guys. Sorry. I think that Lamar it's still his first year with a lot of these guys. I think that's fair to say. That's my only defense of Lamar Jackson on the inconsistencies of the deep ball.
They got to be better. There's no doubt they got to be better. But the good thing is they know they have to be better, and they get to work on being better in the midst of winning games and not doing so, not working on that with losses. So, I mean, it's always better when you can learn through winning than having to learn through losing.
Just don't abandon it. Let's not abandon it, man. You know what I'm saying?
Even an unsuccessful shot makes the defense change how they call their defense. Tom says, I know it's early, but what's your way too soon running back room
this,
position
Tom.
For next season? Does Mitchell become our new one? Well, right now, only two under contract are Justice Hill and Keaton Mitchell. So, yeah, he does in theory right now, but I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Gus Edwards back here next year at all. So, we'll see.
Yeah, we're in the throes of it, Tom. I'm not even thinking about next year.
Yeah, tomorrow. We're thinking
That's
about
right.
just tomorrow.
That's right. Robbie DeBell says, Roby rhymes Roby. With Toby. I'm not worried when the O struggles, the D picks up the slack, vice versa. It's called teamwork. Yeah, I mean, look, ultimately, you win in all three phases. And so the offense, we kind of talked about this. The offense did enough late in that game. They had a shaky second half. That's undeniable.
Yeah.
I mean, the second quarter wasn't great. Like, the first quarter was, and then it kind of, like, went down from first quarter on down. But in the fourth quarter, they did enough to complement the defense. Was it perfect? No. But that late drive, we were to stay on the field. You know, obviously, it eventually ended in a touchdown. But that, how long, Glenn, are you able to, how long was that last drive? I mean, it was what, we got the ball with 7 and change.
Yeah, let's see here. Do we only 4 for 13 on third down, 1 for 3 on fourth down. So that wasn't good. Last drive, we went 7 plays, 27 yards, 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Oh, no, sorry. Hold on. Three plays, 44 yards, touchdown was our second to last because we knelt down our last drive. So, yeah, our second to last drive was 3 plays, 44 yards, and then the one you're thinking of where we missed the field goal.
Oh, right. Okay, that's, yeah.
9 plays, 49 yards, 5.5 minutes. That's what you're thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, so you gotta make the field goal. Any concerns? Any concerns?
It looked to me like his plant foot may have slipped a little bit when he planted his left foot. It looks like it may have slid.
And they play on turf out there, don't they?
I mean, that's ridiculous if they play. You're in L.A.
Well,
you can't grow grass.
It's a desert. Honestly, the city of L.A. probably prohibits them
as a water thing.
Big time. No, for sure they do. I mean, I know that for a
crazy
fact.
Crazy to me, dude. All that glitz and glamour, all that money, and you can't have a grass field at your one stadium.
Yeah,
I'm sure
the
NFL
city
teams.
Absolutely will not let that amount of water be used on the field. Well, this is what happens when you try and overpopulate a freaking desert. Stupid. It's dumb. I tell people that all the time. I'm in LA way too often. This place would not be green if humans were not here. You know, like,
okay.
Anyway, yeah, it's madness. Think about last thing I'll say. They have to take their water from that. LA has bought up land in like Central California to pump water from Central California all the way to LA County. 4 hours away, Glenn. I'm running in the middle of the desert.
That's insane.
And it says this property belongs to LA County. That's how short they are on water.
Yeah, I'm going to blame that Tucker miss on a slip and blame it on the turf overall. Massey says Mike Tirico gasped at handover for last touchdown. I think Justin Herbert. I think he's trying to say Herbert. Gasped at Herbert? What's handover? I don't even know what that means.
The handoff. The Lamar handoff to Zay is what I think he got.
It might have been a fumble. Like he looked like there was a little bit of a messed up exchange. Okay, so he gasped at the last handoff.
They just said, "Give me the rock."
It was going to be split. Mike McDonald, D. How you compare to the 2000 Ravens? Who's your favorite defensive performer? Everett Ray Lewis dance. Lot in there.
hey, he's getting his money's worth. Let me tell you what.
I'm in. How does it compare to the Ravens? Well, they got a lot of games left to play against a lot of playoff teams, so. They still got work to do. The Ravens in 2000 certainly closed things out, so let's see how they close.
And is there any defense that, whatever the statistics are, the defense in 2000 dominated a game like a historic offense would? You know what I'm saying? They would just dominate a game, take over the entire thing, whistle to whistle.
Yeah. I mean, I think numbers-wise, it could end up being a very similar situation, points per game and all that stuff, but to the point Anthony Mitchell, Keaton Mitchell's father, made on our airwaves, that the way rules are set up, it might be more impressive this year than even back then when you consider the restrictions and the handcuffs put on the defense. But my favorite defensive performance today was Kyle Hamilton, just because he was just everywhere. He was so fun to watch. And there was a lot out there because I thought Queen was hitting hard. I thought Roquan was everywhere. Obviously, Clowney with the big play. I mean, there was a lot, but I'm going to go Kyle Hamilton. Mollett. I mean,
Mollett had a great one. I like the way I agree with you. I like the way Clowney played tonight. But I mean, my player of the game was Roquan Smith. Now, he didn't get the interception like I predicted, but he did have the fumble. He did cause the fumble. He stripped it. He didn't recover it, but he stripped it. And he had a big PBU, had a ton of physical tackles. So I'm going to go with
Roquan. Let our team in tackles. This should come as no surprise to anyone. Don C. Don C says, did you all watch that Pittsburgh game? Did Pittsburgh find its courage? We needed this win. Pittsburgh will be an annoying bug that won't go away. Yeah, you know, I was rooting for Cincinnati in that game, you know, obviously, but you know, I'm not scared about Pittsburgh, and I'm glad that the Browns lost.
They put up 13 points against that terrible Bengals defense with a backup quarterback to boot. Man, yeah. Kenny Pickett is terrible.
He is bad. Deontay Johnson. I don't know if you've seen the clip rolling around Deontay Johnson. If you haven't, go to Twitter and look at Deontay Johnson on Twitter, because the guy just gave up in the middle of the play. It was shameful. Pickens is an absolute diva, and he's losing his mind. And yeah, Pickett's a bum. Yeah, they're a mess. I'm not worried about the Steelers.
Yeah.
But I do think they will stick around in the standings. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, yeah, they won't go away.
Yeah, we'll see, though. Still a few weeks, you know, still got some time. Steven says, Steven, I'm sorry, I'm not going to try and pronounce your last name. Do you want to try that, Glenn?
Kinigabopoulos.
All right. Uh-huh. I like it. Does this increase or decrease your confidence moving into playoffs? Yes, we held on, but it wasn't pretty. P.S. Please give a shout out to my girlfriend, Julia. What's up, Julia? Hopefully you're watching the show and enjoying it as well.
Yeah.
Kinigopoulos.
Yeah. Kinigopoulos. Steven Kinigopoulos. Shout out to Julia. Does this increase your confidence? Absolutely.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like he's asking that because it doesn't to him. But Steven, we're here to change your mind. It absolutely should. We've said this a million times, Glenn, but this is a late buy. This is, you know, I mean, we're in week 12 here. Long trip out to LA. That's a 5-hour plus flight, 3 hours in time change. These guys are tired. This is an AFC opponent. Huge win here. Was it perfect? No. But we know that this is they were 4-6 coming to this game. That is much more talented than that from a roster standpoint.
And they were completely desperate. They knew this was their season. They could not lose this game.
Yep.
At home, AFC matchup, prime time. The coach is under fire. The quarterback's got question marks. And they lose this game. This was a absolutely pivotal game. Desperate team. Big, big win. Shout out to the Ravens. This was a confidence builder going into a bye week that is desperately needed.
Yep. So feel good about it, Steven. Feel good about it.
Yeah, let's see. Steven comes back with, how did having Mark Andrews feel, or not having Mark Andrews feel for you guys? And why did we stop giving Odell the ball? I think Odell stopped getting the ball because he stopped being in the game for a long period of time. Maybe even, I thought at one point I saw him go back out there, but I wasn't even sure. I think he just got hurt, or he had something spring up that they didn't want to risk. Yeah, not having Mark stunk. It stinks out loud, but it was nice to see Isaiah take advantage of his additional opportunities for sure.
Yeah, no, I just watched that clip with Deontay Johnson.
See him walk right by that fumble?
How?
Ball rolled right by him.
The only thing I don't understand is that why is this in the he's already miserable in the beginning of the game?
Yeah. Well, rumors are last week him and Minka had to be separated because they got into it after the game. And so I guess he's just been disgruntled with the offense in general. But it was a shameful looking play.
To any of my family members that might be watching that don't like Lamar Jackson, let me remind you that we could have Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
Like, you want Kenny? Go ahead. I'm good. I'll stick with Lamar. Saad Rahman says, my math was way off. That's okay. No worries. Welcome to my life. Pat has been underrated, though. Pancake Pat, is that who's referencing? Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, I don't know. It was hard to make an assessment on Pat tonight.
I thought he gave up the outside.
He did.
He's supposed to be helping on Khalil.
Mm-hmm.
Anything but the outside. Like, let him destroy you inside where Moses is waiting.
Right.
You can't let him take the edge. I mean, holy smokes. That play was frustrating.
I agree. JL says, the deep ball is killing me. It's not a very high percentage play this year. It has gone down league-wide. Show me a highlight tape or a highlight of a deep pass that doesn't include Tyreek Hill cover two highs. Yeah, I mean, I haven't thought about the fact that it's down league-wide this year, but specific to the Ravens, we've got to tighten it up. I mean, look, it doesn't need to be a commonality, right? Like, it doesn't need to be something that we rely on, but it's certainly something we need to be better at to keep these teams honest.
Yeah, if they're bringing their safeties down and they're blitzing heavy and leaving one-on-ones, you got to challenge them. That's what teams are going to be doing in big situations when the playoffs comes around, especially if you don't show throughout the regular season that you can beat it. So, I get your point, JL. You can't live on it when guys are running too high, but you kind of got to do it when those two safeties come down and they're manned up single coverage. You kind of got to try and find a one-on-one that you like and take advantage of it. What I want to see is what I would like to tell Lamar Jackson is under throws in one-on-one aren't the worst case scenario, because typically they lead to PIs.
Or interceptions, though. Like, I feel like those are the only two things that happen.
Yeah, but if it's Odell one-on-one, I like chances of it not getting picked. I really do. Yeah. And I guess
I would say just don't grossly underthrow it either. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It can't be gross. It can't be gross. But typically, an overthrow, no one's catching it, including your guy. But their guy isn't catching either. But at least with an underthrow, most of the time, it's a damn PI. I mean, because the guy ends up running right into the receiver as he puts the brakes on to make a play on the ball. So, let your guy make a play.
And the other thing, too, is that I don't know. Look, I'm not a receiver, but certainly with the Zay one, and I think there's been a few other ones this year, man, you got to run through that thing. Full blaze.
It's like almost like, could he have grabbed it?
Did
it go through his hands? I wanted to see the...
Anyway, he certainly got one hand on it, but there's been a few of them, man. You just got to... You can't break stride when you look. This is so easy for me to sit on the chair and say, but like when you turn around, look at that ball, you got to keep going. You know, you got to run through that thing. Just like an outfielder in baseball, when he's tracking that thing down, he can't turn around, look, and slow down.
No, that's why there's a warning track to tell you when you're about to hit the wall.
That's right.
That's why the warning track is there. But it is tough. You got people got to remember, if you never played football, you basically run around like this. So your peripheral vision
sucks.
Extremely hindered. So, it's tough. But they got to get better at it. But the good thing is they can work on it while winning and making playoff positioning. Like, it's not the worst thing. Sean says, what I hate about this game is the media will still find a way to say Herbert is better than Lamar and give him another pass. Well, you're probably right. But that's okay. Because
he doesn't have enough this or he doesn't have enough that. Oh, wait, we got Keenan Allen. We had 30 million catches.
Everything. Yeah,
and everything. And Austin Eckler and... Give me that crap. Yeah, no, I'm with you, Sean.
Hey, but also, you know what they have? They have Quentin Johnson and we have Zay Flowers.
That's right.
And I ain't mad about that bit. Right. Your guy, Brandon Stevens, to me, looked good again tonight. I mean, he was.
I got a nickname for him. The kangaroo.
Yeah, why's that?
Oh, dude, he's right in the pocket, baby, all the time,
right,
man.
Right in the pocket.
He's stuck to these guys like glue in their hip pocket, isn't he?
He really is. And it's like those certain plays that can go unnoticed. There was a play where it was like second and eight, and they run a quick throw to the receiver. Roby comes up, makes a beautiful tackle, holds him to third and two after he drags him down. And the very next play, forced an incompletion and a punt right at the 50-yard line. It's like, if he lets that guy slip through his hands and pick up that first down, who knows how the game has changed? That's a drive. Now they're over half yard or midfield. So, yeah, the corners played well. Yeah, he had 14 catches, but he had 14 catches, Jimbo, and he only had 106 yards and no touchdowns. I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It was just getting – holy crap. It was like I was caught in a nightmare.
Yeah,
hey, dude, wait a second. Can we figure this out here? anyway, yeah, I mean,
caught up on all the we're caught up. Yeah, we're caught up. But look, at the end of the day, Jimbo, you got to feel good coming out of this.
Feeling
game.
Great, man, because we got days. We got what do they say? This is the last game. This is the one game stretch we have in 23 days. I'm feeling great.
Yeah.
Let's do this thing, man. Let's roll. Let's get up. Let's get in. Let's get geared up for this last push in the end of the season, and let's go into this playoff absolutely battle tested, man.
No doubt.
Daniel Hudson says, "What about that Van Noy tip on the throat to the outside, dude? Was getting up. Homeboy's been doing his squat jumps,
dude. That
he's
was
not
huge,
off the couch, man. University. You know what he's doing while he's sitting at home? You know what he's doing? He was going down to the couch in a squat and
up downs.
Yeah. Damn, up off the couch, baby." I mean, dude was getting up. Shout out to Kyle Van Noy. And the timing was perfect, too.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't get his hand on that ball.
Yeah, talk about green grass.
Woo! You're talking a long, long first down, maybe worse. But yeah, shout out to Van Noy. Didn't get to the quarterback today, but certainly got to make a big play on the ball. Damon says, I'm telling you guys now, Harbaugh will be the reason why we lose in the playoffs. That Aguilar catch should have been reviewed, and he keeps losing challenges. Yeah, I mean, look, there's no doubt, rough game for Harbs with his in-game decision-making. Can't question you there, 100%, deserves to be criticized. I just hope that, you know, like a lot of things, including the deep passing game, that that gets better too when it comes down to playoff time. Because, yeah, we can't have these decisions being missed. We can't have challenges that should be made not being made, and we can't waste timeouts and challenges on. So, although I will say it ended up being very, very close, that challenge, despite what I initially assumed when I saw the flag come out.
Yeah, and the other thing I'll say too, Damon, is John dials it in too. I mean, he is in NFL history has the most road wins in the playoffs. Like, John has done some excellent things in the playoffs. He's also undefeated in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, he's only been there once, but he ain't lost. He ain't ever lost. Undefeated. So John can dial it up and, you know, hopefully get, you know, take that focus up a couple more notches. So keep your confidence up, Damon. I feel confident in our coaching staff in the playoffs and in crucial moments. So,
But I think that's it for us tonight, Jimbo. Right. It was a great night, late night.
Yeah, late night.
But look, we'll be back.
Eat half a quesadilla right now.
My man. Okay. I'm not mad about it. This Tuesday, we'll be back with Cole to get further wrap up and kind of send us off into our bye week. But yeah, man, excited. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for all of you who came out and joined us. We certainly appreciate it. We'll also go over our contest results on Tuesday.
Yep.
So be there or be square.
See, isn't it? You said it wrong.
Be here or be square.
There you go. That's right.
Over under some. We'll talk about them on Tuesday, buddy.
Yeah.
Appreciate you guys coming
Glenn,
out.
Glenn, you got a call, dude.